Hey, you're listening to the Casper Faith Podcast, where you can catch up on and re-listen to encouraging messages shared by the staff here at the church. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope these words inspire you, challenge you, and expose you to God's love in a meaningful way. Enjoy the message.
Well, this morning, before we get into the message, Nancy has a word from the Lord, and she's going to come and share it today. And the reason I asked her to hold until now is because it really goes along with the message, and I felt that it is kind of like an introduction to our message this morning.
My children, I created you. I saw you being formed in your mother's womb. I have given you everything that you have. I want you to see what I have done for you and what you are, and not listen to the lies of the enemy that you can't do something or that you're not this or you're not that. Consider what I have given you. What is in your hand? Not the person next to you, not to what anyone else is doing, but what I have for you to do. I want you to be reminded that I have many rewards for you when you get to heaven, and I want you to receive rewards. So branch out into what you can do. Reach out into the talents that you have. You each have one. Don't let yourself think that you don't. I have created you. I loved you. You are the apple of my eye. I have given you everything that you need to be successful for me. So open up your hearts to what I have for you to do. Step into those places and know that I am with you. I am working through you, and I will do great things because of your willingness to work for me. I love you. I love you. I love you dearly. I want you to grow and develop.
Let's pray for that. Father, we come to you right now, and you've told us how wonderfully creative we are, and yet you have given us things in our hands, abilities, gifts, and I pray, Father God, that you would help us to see what you've given us, and God, use it for your glory, God, to build your kingdom, God, to impact people around us in ways we never thought possible. So God, I pray in these next few minutes we have together that your Spirit would be speaking to us, God, to see how we can apply this to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're nearing the home stretch of our DNA series where we're looking at our core values of the church. What's important to us? What do we hold near and dear? Who are we? And today, we're going to look at the core value. Next week will be our final message, so we're going to wrap things up next week as we get ready to head into an Easter series called I Deserve. It's going to be a great series. Keep that in prayer. But today, we're going to look at the core value of serving. The core value of serving. And the core value for us is we strive to serve our community through both spiritual and practical ways. We strive to serve our community through both spiritual and practical ways. Now, one of the greatest ways that we serve our community is through our Helping Hands community service. Many of you probably know it more as the food pantry, okay? That's what I originally called it, but as we branched out into distributing clothes and household items, giving away pet food, giving haircuts, offering prayer, it just kind of branched out, and it's just not a food pantry. There's so much more involved, but giving away food is one of the primary things we do, and this is exciting. In the past 6 years, I want you to grab this here. In the past 6 years, we've given away 1,048,221 pounds of food. Can you imagine that? Over 1 million pounds of food in 6 years. We have served, we'll just round it up, okay? 102,000 people, one person short, all right? I'm sure we probably missed someone somewhere, all right? Okay, but in 6 years, 102,000 people, twice the population of Casper, 1 million pounds of food. That is phenomenal. And here's the thing. If we would have said 6 years ago, we're going to give away 1 million pounds of food, how many would have said, I think you're nuts, huh? That just seems a little outrageous, doesn't it? But here's the thing. When you have a lot of people who are just serving, giving away what they've got in their own hands, doing it consistently for a long time, it's amazing what can happen. 1 million pounds of food to over 100,000 people. And that is why serving is so powerful. And realize that our volunteers in our food pantry, Helping Hands, give on average 7,000 hours a year. 7,000 hours. That's a lot of work. That's a lot of work. But that's the power of serving. And you may say, well, I can't give much. I can only give a couple hours a week doing this ministry, that ministry, giving here in the food pantry. Friends, every little bit helps. The word that was shared at the beginning, use what's in your hand. When you use what's in your hand, God can multiply it and do incredible things. And so we want to impact our community. And by the way, for the food pantry, we do have kind of a critical need. Some of our people who are driving have kind of shifted things in their life and they're not able to go and pick up food anymore. We pick up food at Walmart, Target, Starbucks, Loaf and Jug, and if you would like to be part of the food pickup, drive to the stores, get the food, bring it back to the church, see myself or call the office, that's kind of a critical need that we have right now, and if God's laying that on your heart, hey, we would love to have you join the team and be part of that. So, but it's not just practical needs that we meet as a church. We also want to meet spiritual needs, because here's the thing. If you only meet people's physical needs without touching their spirit, you've given them really nothing. You've alleviated their suffering for a little bit, but here's the thing. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul? We've got to focus on spiritual needs. And the greatest spiritual need that every single person in the world has is the need of forgiveness of their sins and to follow the leadership of Jesus Christ. They need to have salvation to be saved from their sinful nature. And many people were like me when I was growing up. I trusted in religion, in what I did, in going to church, and the things that I would do. And I thought if I did enough, then that's what got me to heaven. But then I came to an understanding that it's not what we do that earns us salvation. It's not what we do that causes us to be forgiven of sin. It's what Christ has done on the cross. Jesus died on the cross for our sin, and the way that we receive His forgiveness is a gift. You can't work for it, but you have to receive it. And you receive that by confessing you're a sinner and letting Christ become the leader, the one who's in charge of your life. And that's why part of the spiritual needs, when we do the food pantry, we play video presentations that present the gospel, that give to spiritual talks to encourage people, to help them in that area. That's why every Sunday in a Sunday morning service, we'll give a salvation altar call almost every Sunday, because if someone is present who doesn't have a relationship with God, they're not a Christian, they're searching, we want them to have that opportunity. But here's the thing. There are some people, they're not going to come to the food pantry. There are some people, they're not going to come to a Sunday service. So how do they hear? How do they hear that? And that's where special outreaches come in, where we do different events that might encourage people to come to church who wouldn't come to church because it's not for a service, but it's for something going on, such as a Nerf War Easter egg hunt, okay? How many have ever heard of a Nerf War Easter egg hunt, okay? I mean, you've heard of Easter egg hunts, but you know, this is something different. We're praying for a couple hundred kids to come. And not just all church kids, okay? We want kids and their parents to come who don't know Jesus. Because as they're here, they're going to hear a presentation of the gospel. And it's going to be some fun stuff, some different Christian allusions and stuff like that, things like that. But we want them to hear the message so they know that there is a God in heaven who loves them, who gave His life for them because He wants a relationship with them. He wants to spend eternity with them. He doesn't want them to go to hell. And so we have these special outreaches. And you know what? We need people to serve and to be part of the outreach. And not just to show up and to be a referee or to count how many kids got hit or whatever, or to serve snacks at it. but even just to be around and to engage parents and to talk to people and just to be friendly. When people come in, we want them to feel welcome. We want them to have a sense that these people genuinely like me. You know, wouldn't that be nice to walk into a church and feel people liked you? That they didn't hate you? I mean, but hey, there are some churches that you walk into and you don't feel that, but we want, when they come, we want them to sense that warmth and that love of God from us. So it's not just serving God, it's and presenting them the gospel, it's showing them the love of God, showing them the gospel. And so that's an opportunity. Also this summer, we're doing a mega sports camp for students from the week of June 9th. Father's Day, we're going to have another Father's Day outreach, so you can invite someone to that. On Halloween, October 30th, the day before Halloween, we're going to do a Halloween outreach. We'll tell you more about that later. It's going to be a lot of fun. And then at Christmas, we're going to rent some space at the mall, and we're giving away cookies and praying for people. We've got a lot of outreach opportunities where people are going to have an opportunity. I want you to be praying, number one, that God will open people's hearts, that they will come and they'll hear. Be praying about who you can invite. But also, we need people to pull these off. So serving in these areas to help meet a spiritual need is a great way you can do that. So just be in prayer about that over these next few weeks, as you'll hear opportunities of how you can be involved in that. So why is serving so important? Why is serving one of our core values? The reason is, and if you've got your notes in the back of your bulletin this morning, you can write this down. Serving is important because there is power in serving. There is power in serving. When you and I serve, something takes place. And we're going to look at three things that take place in our lives that show us why serving is so powerful. The first thing is that serving opens people's hearts to you. When you serve someone, if their heart has been closed, it opens their heart. It opens them up more to who you are and to what you have to say. A great example of this is in Acts chapter 9, verse 36. It's the story of Tabitha, all right? Or she's also called Dorcas. You know, I'm sure back in those days, Dorcas was not a bad name, but nowadays you call someone a Dorcas. You know, that doesn't sound like a good name. Hey, Dorcas. You know, that doesn't sound like a very good name. So we'll call her Tabitha, right? So we don't want to, you know, make her feel bad. So in Acts 9:36, it says, at Joppa there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. And since Lydia, it's the city, Lydia was near Joppa, the disciples heard Peter was there in Lydia. They sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room. And all the widows stood by him, weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. So I want you to catch this picture. Tabitha is a lady, and she dies. And here's the thing. She had impacted her community so powerfully that when she dies, the people in the town say, we've got to do something. We hear that the Apostle Peter, a man who does miracles, a man who walked with Jesus, he's really nearby. Let's go get him to see if he can come back and bring her back to life. That is the impact that Tabitha had on people. And what was she that caused this? Was she some really great politician, someone who helped the economy, someone who was really talented and really well known? No, she was just a seamstress. She sewed clothing for widows. It's like what the word came this morning. She used the talents, the abilities that God had given her, what was in her hand, and she served others. You see, for you to make an impact in other people's lives, you don't have to be super talented. You don't have to be super gifted. You just have to use what God has given you. And as you use that with a heart of love and a heart of service and you just serve others, man, you can impact people. And that's the impact that Tabitha had. She just sowed. She did good works. We don't know all the kind of things she did, if she made meals or whatever. We just know that part of those good works was just sewing clothes. But by using what she had, man, when she died, people's hearts were open to her. And it's like, we got to do something to help her. Because she loved them and served them, they loved her. Her service opened their hearts up to her. And as a result, a miracle took place. That's why serving is so important, because it opens people's hearts up to you. Right now, we are on month 2 of our 4-month evangelism challenge. In February, and we talked about in March, in January, we handed out our MySafe 5 cards. And this last week, we had our MySafe 5 cards out here at our 12:12 prayer time, praying for people by name that are on those cards. I looked at every one of those cards and prayed for every one of those people that you wrote down. And we encourage you in February to be praying for them, praying for opportunities to serve, praying for opportunities to invite, praying for opportunities for them to become saved, for you to share. And how many have been doing that? You've been engaging in that. How many kind of forgot about it, huh? All right, get your card back out. Start praying for those people, all right? This is the month of service, all right? In your notes, pray, serve, invite, share. That's the 4-month challenge. This is the month of service. Be praying how you can serve them. Maybe it's taking them a meal. Maybe if there's another snowstorm, you shovel their walk. You know, I don't know. Maybe it's washing their car. Or giving them a coupon to wash your car. I don't know what God might lay on your heart, but pray for God to give you an opportunity to serve the people on your MySafe5 list. And then in April, invite them. Invite them if they have kids to the Nerf War Easter egg hunt. Invite them to church Easter Sunday morning. Many people will come to church on Easter when they won't come to church any other time of year. It's a great time to invite. And so use that opportunity. But serving is really important because it opens people's hearts up to you. Now, I believe it's important for us to share the gospel with other people, even strangers, but if you share it with someone you've got a relationship with, as opposed to someone you just walk up to fresh off the street and share the gospel with them, the person that you've been serving, that you've been helping, that you've been investing time and energy and possibly even money, but you've been giving yourself to them, who do you think is going to be more responsive to what you have to say, the stranger or the person you've been serving? The one you've been serving. That's the power of serving. Serving opens up hearts to you. And here's the thing. We just don't want to serve unsaved people. We need to become servants in all aspects of our life. All of our relationships we need to become servants in. With our teachers and our classmates at school. With our bosses and our coworkers where we work. In church, we want to be servants of each other and labor with each other. In our homes, in our marriages. I've been married 30 years now, okay? In May, it'll be 30 years. And it hasn't all been a bed of roses. I'll be the first person to admit I am not perfect. And my wife would give a hearty amen to that. But here's one of the keys. It's not the key, because there's several important things to make a marriage work. But here's one of the big keys. I'll share it with you. It's being a servant. It's serving. A few weeks ago, we talked about building families. And we read from the passage Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 to 26. And I want you to think about being a servant and what Paul said, what we talked about a few weeks ago, and how being a servant fits into that. It starts off saying, "Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word." When you think about that, really that whole passage is about serving. Husbands, Love your wife the way Jesus loved us. He laid his life down. He put us first. He didn't think about himself and what he wanted. He prayed in the garden. He says, God, I don't want to do this. I don't want to serve the church. But nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. There's times, man, you're going to say, God, I don't want to do this. Yet you say, God, not my will, but your be done. Are you willing to lay your life down and serve your spouse? Wives are to submit to be served. If we are serving each other, that is a key to having a great marriage. Because you see, when you're serving someone, you're not looking out for yourself. You're not satisfying yourself. You are focusing on them and putting them first. When you're selfish, that's when it turns people off. But when you're serving, it opens people's hearts. It works in marriage. It works in family. It works at school. It works at home. It may not happen right away, but that's why serving is so important. And we need to become servants in every area of our life, because serving opens people's hearts to us. That's the power of serving. Now, there's a second thing that serving does, and it opens people's hearts to Christ. Serving opens people's hearts to Christ. There's an old adage, people want to know that you care before they care what you know. When people know that you care about them, they're more apt to listen to you, to give you space in their life. And I think that's why there was such a neat miracle that took place when Tabitha was raised from the dead. Not only was she raised from the dead, something happened in that community. Let's take a look. Pick it up in verse 40. Peter put all the people out. After they said, Tabitha's dead, you got to do something, he put everyone out of the room. He knelt down and prayed, turning to the body of Tabitha, who's a dead corpse laying there still. Who knows how long she's been dead? Several hours, maybe over a day. He said, Tabitha, arise. She opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Then he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he called the saints and the widows, he presented her alive. It became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed on the Lord. So Peter stayed there many days. Friends, Tabitha's serving opened up people's hearts to her, which then opened their hearts up to Christ. When there was a miracle, they were just blown away, but it was her service that was the key that prepared them for Christ. And so as we serve others, it prepares them to receive Jesus. That is the power of serving. I've shared with you before how there was a neighbor lady who just a half a block down the street when we were new to a community, we moved in, and she befriended my mom. In a way, she served my mom. My mom was lonely, had no one, and she invited mom over and just built a relationship, just took a lot of time with her, invested in her, and in time, we became Christians. Why? Because I was healed of allergies. You see, if there hadn't, I wonder to this day, if I would have just been healed, even if they prayed and there was no relationship beforehand that came as a result of serving, what if we stuck? What if we became Christians, or we would just went on with our life? I believe it was that relationship connection that first got us connected, so when Jesus came, it just kind of, you know, hitched it up all together. That's the power of serving. It opens their hearts up to you, which then opens their hearts up to Jesus Christ. It's important that as we serve, though, that we do it with the right attitudes. Because I've seen some people, it's like, oh man, I'm doing so much for Jesus. It's so tough. And I do this and I do that. And oh, woe is me. And, you know, and they're serving, they're doing a lot of good things, but they're a martyr about it. How many have ever seen a martyr Christian, huh? Yeah, they're serving and they let everybody know how much they're serving. Or they've got just kind of a stinking attitude. Man, I can't believe that nobody else is doing as much as I am. I'm doing this and I'm doing, you know, why aren't you serving? How come Jim's not serving? How come Jane's not serving? How come John? Man, if everybody served like me, we'd be good. You know, they're kind of proud and arrogant. Here's the thing. You just need to worry about what God has called you to do. You need to do what God has called you to do, because God hasn't called all of us to serve and to do the same thing. The important thing is to look at, am I being obedient to the voice of the Holy Spirit? And then I've also seen some people, they serve with ulterior motives. They serve to get something out of it. You know, I've known some businessmen, they serve because that's a way to build relationships in the community, and so people will come to my business, and they're not really doing it out of the goodness of that. It's more about themselves and building their organization, building their business, or maybe it's, you know, just gathering a following, but there's ulterior motives, there's selfishness to their serving. And this can carry over even into us as Christians. We need to be careful that as we serve people, we're not serving them so that, well, I'm trying to bribe them to come to church with me, or I'm trying to get them and kind of force them to become a Christian. And if you don't want anything to do with that, then I'm just not going to pay attention to you. How did Jesus serve us? Romans says when we were still enemies, he died for us. He served us when that we were not interested in him at all. In your notes this morning, it says, serving with no strings attached shows God's love in a practical way. Serving with no strings attached shows God's love in a practical way. You say, how, Craig? Because Jesus died for us and we did absolutely nothing for him. He just did it because he loved us. And so here's the thing, as you and I serve other people, we just need to do it because we love them. We're serving them not so that they'll come to church. We're serving them not, I mean, yes, we want them to become Christians, but it's not, man, are they ever going to become, you know, no, it's, I'm doing it because I love you, and yes, I want you to get saved. I don't want you to go to hell. And I want you to go to church somewhere, because here's the thing I know, when someone disconnects themselves from church, it's just a matter of time when you're not in community with God's people that you're not in community with God. You just fall away from God. And that's why going to church is so important. So, yes, I want them to go to a good church. I want them to come to our church. We got a great church, great family ministries, great ministries. We want to impact their lives, but yet I do it not because of that. I do it because I love them. That's my motive of service. And when I have a pure motive of service, it opens their heart up to Christ and it opens them up to me. They don't feel like I've got something up my sleeve, some agenda I've got. I'm just loving them. I'm just trying to be nice. I'm just trying to do good things to them. That's what it says in Acts. Jesus went around doing good things and he won the world. That's what we need to do when we're serving. There's a final thing that we need to realize about the power of serving. Not only does it open up people's hearts to us and people's hearts to Christ, but serving makes us more like Jesus. When we serve, it makes us more like Jesus. The 12 disciples, they were constantly jockeying for position among who was the greatest, because you see, they thought Jesus was going to set up a physical kingdom and reign on the earth. They didn't realize that's in the second coming. That's in the millennium. That the first coming was to set up the kingdom of God on the hearts of people. Because man is selfish and they only think about themselves. They need to be servants in the kingdom of God. And so they're jockeying for position, and there was one time Jesus heard there was some problems and he called together a powwow and he says, come here guys, we got to talk about this. And he shared a lesson with them. He says, you want to know what real greatness is? You guys want to be great in my kingdom? Here, let me show you what greatness is. Mark chapter 10, verse 42. Jesus calls the disciples to himself and he said, you know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to be great among you shall be your what? I can't hear you. Your servant. You want to be great? Be a servant. It says, whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. And now catch this. For even the Son of Man, he was referring to himself, I did not come to be served by you, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus said, if you want to be great, follow my example. If you want to be first in the kingdom, really recognized for being a powerful person of God, just use what's in your hand and serve. That's what it takes, being a servant. You don't need to be super talented or super rich or super whatever. You just need to be a servant and serve everyone who comes across your path. How many of you want to be more like Jesus? Kind of a, I don't know, is that a trick question? I mean, you don't raise your hand. I don't want to be more like Jesus. You know, yeah. Hey, we all want to be more like Jesus, right? What to be more like Jesus means to be more of a, yeah, you got it, a servant. Ow, that hurts. I don't know if I want to be like Jesus now. Yeah, we do. I once heard someone use the acrostic. They said, you want joy in your life? How many want joy? Yeah, we want joy. Joy, J-O-Y, stands for Jesus, others, and you. And yet so many people today, they're trying to find joy by yoj, you, others, and Jesus. And they're putting themselves first. Serving themselves, if I serve myself, if I meet my needs, if I satisfy myself, then I'll be joyful and happy. And friends, when you just are self-centered, it just feeds a monster that grows bigger and bigger and bigger and is never satisfied. When you think of only yourself and put yourself first, there is no joy. There's no satisfaction. Joy comes from Jesus is first and I serve Jesus. And then I'm looking at others and I'm doing what he did just as he served me. I give my life as a ransom for many, for my wife, for my kids, for my church, for my unsaved neighbors, for the people I work with, for the people I go to school with. How can I serve? And you say, man, it can wear us out. It can kill us. No, here's the thing. What do you have in your hand? Use your talents, your giftings, your abilities, the resources God has given you. That's all Dorcas did. That's all Tabitha did. She used what was in her hand, and she obeyed the voice of the Holy Spirit. And that's all God wants you to do, is just be willing to use what's in your hand, the time you have, the resources you have, the abilities you have. Just be willing to use it wherever you go and let God do the rest. You see, when we have that heart of a servant, you don't know whose heart it's going to impact and how it opens themselves up to you. And then they'll come to church with you or they'll hear your story and they become a Christian, their hearts are opened up to Christ, and then they begin to serve and they become more like Jesus and they begin to do the same in their family and their sphere. And as we all are servants, it begins to multiply because we impact people, and pretty soon you've got a community that comes to Christ in boatloads, just like it happened in the city of Joppa when Tabitha was a servant.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's message, and thanks again for joining us on the Casper Faith Podcast.